We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in. Happy Thanksgiving week to everybody. Whether you're driving around,
flying around,
sitting at home, flying around, a lot of traveling this week. It is Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, and as we do every year, we give you this episode a little bit earlier in the week so that you have it for your Thanksgiving festivities. Some football to be discussed on Thursday.
Now, will you re-listen to this on your drive up north?
Potentially. I usually do listen back just to see how it sounds.
Mm-hmm. The full hour?
Yeah, usually I get through it all.
Yeah, long ride.
Yeah. Well, I got like a 6-hour ride to where I'm going.
Yes, you listened to it 6 times over.
Do you want to hear my week? It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
Not really. So I'm going 6 hours north to the North Woods, then 4 hours south, sort of westish, to my wife's family.
Okay.
Then to Madison to basically sleep on Friday night. And then 4 hours to Champaign for Northwestern Illinois. And then rushing as fast as I can to hopefully make my flight to Philadelphia.
What time is your flight after the riveting
Illini
Wildcats football game?
9:44.
Oh, you got that. You got that.
The game's at 3.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe not.
There's a decent chance that the end of the fourth quarter may not have a sideline reporter.
Well, we don't need any cardiac cats like games. Just
it depends.
Pummel Lovey, will
you? Right, right. I mean, you know, hopefully it's
Pummel Lovey.
We'll see. But it's going to be an interesting weekend for me, and I know it is for everybody. Everybody's traveling, so we wanted to get this out to you. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano. Follow him at Joey Joe Rowe. WGNradio.com/Bears is where you can read me. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read Johnsy. And we will have our podcast in print in Wednesday's Sun-Times and also online at ChicagoSunTimes.com. You can search Hogan Johns on iTunes, tune in the WGN Radio app. You can find the podcast there and pretty much anywhere where you listen to your podcasts. And this is episode 132 of the Hogan Johns podcast. Got some things for you today. The voicemail's coming up. I ran into Cam Meredith yesterday at WGN-TV, who's been kind of making the media rounds for this Thanksgiving charity work he's doing, which is really cool. But got a chance to get an update on his leg injury and his knee injury, I should say, and just his progress and prognosis going into 2018. So you'll hear from him. Of course, we'll break down the Bears-Eagles game coming up. I find the spread really fascinating, and we'll get into that.
What is it, 11.5 right now?
I saw it up to 13.5 last
night.
Okay. So we'll discuss all that. But Bears lose to the Lions. Voicemails, usually better when they lose. Let's be honest. 312-222-5050 is that voicemail number. Let's see what Joe put together for us this week.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail. The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Hoagie, Johnsy, babe. Bob Dabrowski here again calling. I just got inside the stadium. Kids, I ain't gonna lie, last week was a tough one to swallow. But at least Mitchie threw for a whole bunch of heck of a lot of yards. Today, he gets a touchdown, all right? It's my birthday. I blew out every single little candle wishing for a Bears W. And I know Mitch gets a touchdown, one to Shaheen, and Tariq, the human nickname, He scores a touchdown, too. Okay, you can bank that. Take it to the bank, boys. Let's go Bears.
Z from Noblesville. Somewhere across the country, I get the feeling William Devane, if he's a Bears fan, is just sitting there chanting, let them play. Let them play. Let them play. And obviously a reference to the rookies. I don't know. Let's see. Bear down.
Corey Bismarck, North Dakota. Just calling to say, great connection, Trubisky, Shaheen. Love seeing it. Want to see more of it. Coaches got their heads out of their asses. Now they're giving the ball to Tariq, and it's just been amazing to watch him move that ball. Same with Howard, just a beast nonstop. Injuries adding up, though, so a little worried about Floyd. Hope he's doing well. Bear down.
This is Daniel over here, Omaha, Nebraska. Got two gut reactions after this game. Why was Mike Glennon ever playing over Mitchell Trubisky? That kid is now a man, and Connor Barth.
Sean from Scottsdale. That needs to be the last game Connor Barth ever plays for the Bears. Mitch Trubisky puts the team on his back, runs the two-minute drill to perfection, gets his team to scoring position, and the guy lets him down. How many different ways can this team find out how to lose?
Alex from Florida. Barth needs to go. Yes, Barth needs to go. Barth needs to freaking go. That's it. Go Bears.
Will from Las Vegas here. I just watched Connor Barth kick the worst kick of his entire life that I've ever seen, and that's saying something. Why do we still keep this guy employed? Bear down, I guess.
Mike Byrne calling from Markham, Ontario, Canada. Just finished watching the game. That's inexcusable by Barth. I can't believe it. Your rookie QB hangs some onions, takes the team down the field in the fourth quarter. You got a chance to tie up the game, and this guy misses wide right. I can't believe it. I'm at a loss for words. Bear down.
Nathan from Oswego. That might have been the worst kick I have ever seen in my life. But you know what? You can't even be mad at Connor Barth. This goes solely on Ryan Pace. We've seen how awful Connor Barth is for the last two seasons, and Ryan Pace has kept him on. Time to get rid of him. Pathetic.
AJ from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Couple of things. Kyle Fuller should have at least 7 interceptions this year. I'm so tired of seeing this guy have a ball go through his hands. Look, it's the NFL. Make the damn catch. If it hits your hand, you catch that ball. And then where's Shaheen, Cohen, Inman? Where's our playmakers? Where are they? It feels like if something works for the Bears, they do the opposite and go away from it. Hey, you know what? I'm not as sour as I could be. It's probably going to help towards our draft pick anyway. So bear down. You guys keep kicking ass in your podcast, and have a good week.
Tim from Milwaukee, sitting at a bar watching dual screen Packers and Bears games. It just really occurred to me how the Bears screwed that up last week so bad. 3 interceptions, 5 turnovers for the Packers. Where was the Bears D last week? It really speaks volumes on this coaching staff. I can't get behind them anymore. I think it's time for a change. Let's see what next year brings. Bear down.
Matt from Boca Raton, Florida. I'm just wondering why the hell Daniel Brown was over Adam Shaheen in that last possession. What the hell is Fox doing? I am so sick of this stuff. Can we get Jim Bob Cooter in here and get an actual offensive mind in this city?
Jim from California here. That 4th-and-13 run by Mitch was just amazing to watch. You know, by that point in the drive, Cutler would have thrown like 3 picks and had a fumble. So I'm just glad we had someone new that's under center who can really make something out of nothing. Also, Jordan Howard was great. He had like 150 yards. You know, him and Cohen were just electric today. It's nice to see less of the run-run-pass offense. You know, this is what they should have looked like coming out of the bye week.
Jason from Wisconsin. I've been playing football team bingo, and I think I've got it. I've got a guy fumbling because he was walking in on the 1-yard line. We got national TV blow up by the Packers. Historically bad challenge that our coach actually used on himself. Losing the Packers without Rodgers, and Connor Barth loses the game. I got bingo. All right.
This is Batman calling from Bruce Wayne's phone. The Batcave. I just want to say Iron Man sucks, and so does Connor Barth and Ryan Pace. Where is the kicker? Where is he?
Oh, those were some good calls.
Sound like Lego Batman.
Yeah. You know, a lot of those calls were spot on. Really? I mean...
Well, Jay Cutler would be hard-pressed to throw 3 interceptions and fumble. Although, you never know. Called back.
If anyone could do it, it would be Nathan Peterman.
Ooh. Who's still starting, I believe. Anyway.
5 interceptions. That was impressive. Yeah. So I think the thing that I agree with the most out of anything, and there was a lot of good calls in there. But when the, and we kind of touched on this in the, on the postgame pod. Like, I didn't even feel like Connor missing was... It was like, duh. I was shocked that he was still on the team after the bye week. I really was.
And they brought all those kickers in.
Yeah, I could not believe that he was still on the team before the Packer game. And then he ends up having his best game of the season against the Packers.
Yes.
Which is probably why they didn't make this move last week, because John Fox confirmed that they brought in Cairo Santos last week.
Yes.
For the physical and to work him out. And I think clearly they liked what they saw. And they said, all right, well, we're going to give Connor one more chance because he played well. Well, maybe they should have just gone ahead and made the move.
Yeah. We kind of knew what was coming. I was talking to my colleague Pat Finley when that field goal was about to happen. He's like, he's going to miss it. I'm like, oh, come on. And, you know, he was good against Green Bay. He's got it. But then I started watching his body language more and more. His hands are in his pockets. He looks cold, looks scared. I'm like, oh, gosh. And then, like, that kick. Well, I don't think I've seen a kick by a professional kicker be that far.
Well, Tom Brenneman, who was doing the call for Fox, summed this up perfectly.
To be a 46-yard field goal try by Connor Bart. Snap, hold, not even close. Wow. Holy Moses. Wow.
Now,
holy Moses.
Holy Moses.
Those guys did the game last week.
Yes. I think Spielman's done three Bears games in a row.
Yeah, because he did the one in New Orleans too, didn't he? Yes. You know, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing about the NFL is that you don't have home broadcasters on TV. You do on the radio, obviously, but on TV. And so you're getting these new guys come in every week, and they almost got to, like, relearn and catch up. Even if they call the game earlier in the season, they got to find out what's been going on. There's just no possible way when you're calling a game. Like, when I do sidelines for Northwestern, I basically miss the whole college day. You know what I mean? Like, I have to go catch up on everything else that happened. Same thing when we're covering Bears games on Sundays.
Like, right.
I still don't know everything that happened in the NFL on Sunday right now. I spend part of my week catching up. So the fact that Spielman's been calling three games in a row, I thought going back and watching this that, like, he really had a good feel for this Bears team.
Oh, very familiar.
And his analysis on Trubisky was spot on with the mechanics, because he's been able to evaluate this guy for three straight weeks. And you could just tell that they had no faith in Connor Barth making the kick either. You could just tell.
Holy Moses.
The body language. I wish I changed my opinion as Pat and I debated it. Man, just there's no confidence there when you walked up to it. Have you ever seen a kick go that far away in such a pressure-packed situation?
It was awful.
Like you watched last night.
If you had put another upright to the right of the real upright, he would have missed that one.
Just, it was bad. It was the worst kick I've ever seen. Worst kick I've ever seen.
I've seen worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Than that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen worse kicks. I don't know that I've ever seen... Well, I don't know.
Like, in person, it's the worst kick I've covered. Blocks are fine.
Well, because, like, I'm thinking of Robbie Gould's kick that went, like, remember when the wind just took it and, like, blew it into the stands?
Like, against the Saints?
That's not really his fault, though.
Yes.
Because that was the wind.
Like, this is different than the Trestman kick on second down one, too.
That might be the worst kick I've ever seen in a clutch situation.
Yes. At least that I've covered.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well... Cairo Santos.
The era has begun.
Come on through.
Yes.
I mean, that was the easiest. But again, I go back to that one voicemail we just had. I don't care that he had a good game last week against the Packers. You have 2 years almost of tape on this dude. It's not even tape. Just use your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's not that good. You got to go into the game like, all right, we're going to play another close game here. It could come down to a field goal. It could come down to a 46-yard field goal.
Yep.
Do you trust him to make it?
No.
I don't think that anything that happened a week ago against the Packers changed that.
It's only fitting that the most accurate, the best kicker in Bears history is coming to town in just over a week. And he's taking questions on Twitter today.
Robbie Gould is?
Yes. Yes.
Just for fun?
Well, it's just perfect timing. It's impeccable timing.
Good for Robbie, man.
Yep.
I didn't like the move at the time. It hasn't played out. I think he's only missed two field goals since the Bears let him go. I think he's 29 for 31.
Sounds right.
He's missed a couple extra points. I know that happened last year with the Giants, but he, including against the Bears, remember he missed an extra point?
Yep.
But I believe Connor Barth did too
in
that game.
Oh, I forgot about that. So, yeah, I was not surprised by the move. It probably, you're right, 2 weeks overdue, 3 weeks overdue, 4 weeks overdue.
That's on them. That's on Fox and Pace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Barth,
both of them.
Because yes. Barth was a Fox guy. But I will say, you know, Ryan Pace still has control of the roster, and he could have said at any time in the last year and a half,
this guy sucks.
This guy's bad.
Yes.
In the offseason, we're going to do more than just go sign Andy Phillips out of Utah.
Yeah.
Then they drop a $500,000 on Roberto Aguayo. But they don't even look at Jake Elliott, who's from, and we brought him up on this podcast
before. And they had
before.
A look at him at the Senior Bowl.
For those that don't know, Jake Elliott from Lyons Township, kicked at Memphis, was at the Senior Bowl. He was not on the Bears team at the Senior Bowl, but he was on the other roster, and you still get a good look at all these guys. They spend time with those guys.
You get to watch the practice.
The Bengals drafted Elliott in the fifth round, ended up cutting him at the end of training camp. He was a free agent. The Bears could have signed him. Instead, who signed him? The Eagles.
Who are coming to town, or we're going there.
So the Bears will get a nice good look at Jake Elliott this weekend.
He missed the last game, though, because he was partially concussed or somewhat.
This past week?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He left. He missed a field goal.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Early. I missed the end of the game because I go to bed for TV, but I heard that like they had some linebacker or something kicking the ball.
Yes. Just in kickoffs or something, and he went through concussion protocol. The Eagles won't need a kicker against the Bears the way they move the ball, but
yeah.
They could use the linebacker.
Toe
kicks to the uprights.
Part of us doing the podcast earlier in the week, you really have a good feel for injury situations at this point, so that'll be something to watch.
Yes.
And keep an eye on throughout the week. All right, the other big piece of news we got to get to, Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
More good than bad. When you consider he got carted off with a knee injury, you always assume that it's an ACL
because
90% of the time it is. John Fox was – it took four questions to get out of him, that it was not a torn ACL. Yeah,
good job by Rich Campbell and Pat Finley.
Yes. Yeah, they were pressing. I think JD was involved in that too. But it still doesn't sound like – a great situation. He has a significant knee injury.
Yes,
there's a minimum, I would say, the MCL's likely torn.
So I listened to him twice, because you don't know what the guy's saying. No. He's a liar. So maybe that ACL is damaged. Maybe there is not a complete tear, but a partial tear. Maybe there is...
Well, the fact that he kind of brought up that there's going to be second opinions.
Yes.
Made it sound like that there might be a disagreement about the specific damage.
Right. Which still sounds ominous. I know some people came away thinking this is a positive situation, and I guess you can. You know, second opinions worked out for Nick Kwiatkowski, for example, right?
Yeah.
He did not have to go under the knife, as Darrell Freeman did. So... I don't know. I still came here with a bad vibe because I don't think John Fox was still being truthful in that situation.
Well, here, let's play it. Everyone else here. This is going to actually start with the beginning of his press conference and then immediately goes into the questions about Leonard Floyd.
All right, not much changed since yesterday. I think you saw we made a roster move after the game. That'd be the only real change of news. But
by the way, real quick, nothing's changed except we signed a new kicker.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of a big change.
Roster move. Roster move, Adam. Okay. It's just a roster move.
Let's continue.
We made a switch at kicker. We had Cairo in last week. It was a guy that we looked at even a week ago. And we made that change today in official. Any questions?
Any more clarity, John, on Floyd's severity of Leonard's injury?
You know, I think he's going to miss some time. You know, the exact extent of all the medical terms. You know, I think it's just fair to say he's going to miss some time. They're still evaluating it.
Didn't ACL rule out for you guys?
You know, again, that technicality part of it wasn't as bad, but I can't tell you all the details at this stage. I'll just be making it up.
Is it as bad as...
I think that's one of the concerns was that. You know, I'll just leave it at that at this point.
So I just want to be clear. You're just not willing to say if he tore his ACL?
To our knowledge, at this point right now, he did not.
Okay.
But that's as of right now. Yeah.
So there you go.
So he could tear it tomorrow.
So he could tear it tomorrow if or today.
If
or,
Kyle Fuller dives into his knee again. Okay, yeah. Got it. It just...
Look, you know how hard it is to even get that out of Fox.
I know.
The ACL is fine, but there's other damage in there, and there seems to be a disagreement about
what to do.
And maybe that's not even the right word. Like, They're just evaluating it. He needs his MRIs. He'll probably get a second opinion. So let's talk about what this means. I mean, there's six games left. It could be significant enough that he still misses the rest of the season. He still goes on IR. You know, even an MCL is usually, depending on severity and how, you know, Matt Forte used to play through some of that.
Yep.
MCL tears and things like that. I believe he missed two games in 2015 with an MCL tear and came back. But sometimes it's like a six-week thing. Sometimes, and if it's worse than that, you know, I guess the point is he could still miss the rest of the year. But if it's not a full ACL tear, that makes his offseason a lot easier, you would think.
Yes. We still don't have any clarity, though.
Well, and the reason I say that is because, all right, let's say, all right, not an ACL tear. You just go through regular rehab, let it heal on its own. If you avoid surgery, ready for OTAs, you go through the whole deal. But the last thing you also want is you let it heal on its own, it doesn't heal right, you're trying to go through OTAs, mini camp, training camp, or whatever, and he's having issues with it next year.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get it taken care of, whatever it is. So I guess this is the one time I will actually agree with Fox, and maybe it's just a little bit too early to really say a whole lot about
Joe,
it.
Joe, save that. This is, I'm going to agree with Fox. You said it.
Yeah, one time.
One time, okay.
I think it's the first time in 3 years.
Siesta.
I could use a siesta right now, man. All right. You're right. You think Leonard Floyd was having a good season?
I do.
Really? I've been kind of... He's been good. I expected more evidence of great.
Well, look, I made two bold predictions with Leonard Floyd before the start of the season. One was I thought he'd get to double-digit sacks, which he was on pace to do.
He's at 5.5.
He was at 5.5?
He's at 5.5 right now.
Okay, so maybe he wasn't quite on pace. Close to on pace. But I also said he'd go to the Pro Bowl. I don't think he was on pace for the Pro Bowl.
No.
So, yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's having a good, not great season. I'm looking at my grades for him. I have two games where he ended up in the red with a negative grade. Against Pittsburgh earlier this year, and then against the Packers 2 weeks ago. Otherwise, pretty solid. His best game of the year against Minnesota.
He's been good against the run. I thought he'd be better against the pass.
He's seen a lot of extra attention, though.
Fine.
And Ricky Wagner was having problems with him on Sunday.
I didn't think the pass rush was all that good.
It wasn't.
No, it really wasn't.
All right, so what did the Bears do with Leonard Floyd down? We know he's going to miss some time. Could even miss the rest of the season. They are running out of bodies. Who would have thought Pernell McPhee would be the last one standing out of that group?
Yep.
Lamar Houston out. Willie Young out. Leonard Floyd now out.
Isaiah Irving about to get a lot of snaps. To me, in that need board you have, that draft board that you have, you start moving outside linebacker up a few pegs.
I think it's right up there with wide receiver and
corner.
Behind that is corner.
Yes. Those are your top three needs. Mm-hmm. And I was already starting to become of the opinion over the past three, especially the past couple weeks, because I think the pass rush was bad against Brent Hundley. I thought they were bad against Matthew Stafford. Leonard Floyd, yes, does attract attention, but he needs help. Pernell McPhee is okay. He needs to play less because of just where he is in his career and his own durability in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major need. Outside linebacker is a major need. I don't care who plays the rest of this year. Isaiah Irving, Howard Jones, who's on the practice squad, whatever. The offseason is more important.
One thing I would do in the short term, especially if Danny Trevathan's coming back, and we don't know. He hasn't practiced.
In weeks.
So I don't,
in weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal is. But if and when he does come back, I would move Christian Jones over. Because one thing I've seen in the last 2 weeks, now, as much as the offense corrected their mistakes against the Packers from a game plan standpoint, Vic Fangio still had Christian Jones handle the calls.
Yep.
And that cost him a touchdown. Christian Jones admitted yesterday that they had a prop on the Amir Abdullah two-yarder where he came out of the backfield and there was a pick play.
He needed to be outside a bit more, right?
Christian Jones admitted that there was a communication problem. They did not line up properly, and I think that was also his guy, man-to-man, picked. So there was pre-snap confusion there. Beyond that, Nick Kwiatkowski's played really well the last 2 weeks. I think he should be the one handling that, just going forward.
Groom him for that.
That should be his role going forward. He should be Jarrell Freeman next year anyway. And I think he's playing really well. So if Trevathan comes back, and let's not forget you have Timu, so maybe you do this whether Trevathan's ready for Sunday or not. Play Timu and Kwiatkowski inside and get Christian Jones to the outside. Christian Jones is a good player. I keep saying this. Good player. When he's told what to do and just does it, he does it.
Yep.
And he had a sack the other day. He can get after the quarterback. He blitzes okay. It's not going to be Leonard Floyd. But that's one move I would make, too. And kind of maybe rotate him with Isaiah Irving, because you just need bodies there at this point.
Yeah.
Probably a roster move this week, too.
Yeah. Howard Jones probably going up, right? That's his name?
Yeah.
Nice. Good size. Hit a few sacks a few years ago for the puck. The pucks.
The pucks?
The pucks. The Bucks.
You think about hockey
already? I got hockey in my mind, yes.
You're shutting football down for the year?
Not yet. Okay. 6 more weeks.
Let's do that hockey.
It's a great bit.
Okay, we need to talk about Alshon. It's Eagles week. But before we do that, let's catch up with Cam Meredith here, who the Bears have missed all season long. No question. Would you say they missed him more than Kevin White?
They didn't even question?
Yeah. Anyway, Cam, we're still rehabbing from that torn ACL, that brutal knee injury that he had in Tennessee. He's lucky that wasn't worse.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. And I had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. He's doing a really cool thing with Mercy Home, which is tonight as we record on Tuesday. It's tonight. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday, still a chance to check out what he's doing. Either way, you can donate, though. So just all the details are here in this interview. So here was my conversation with Cam Meredith. So we're bringing in Cam Meredith here. Good to see you, man. I hope the rehab's going well.
It is. Appreciate that. It's slow, but it's steady progress. Every day is, a new milestone. So I'm enjoying that process.
How tough has the season been to watch from the sideline, and 7 losses at this point? I imagine it hasn't been easy.
Yeah, it's definitely been hard, mentally and emotionally and physically. Just, wanting to be out there, trying to see what you can do to kind of help. And, it's just rough to kind of have to sit back and watch. So I just try to, kind of learn, as much as I can, soak in, kind of give back to the other players and, go from there.
Now, I've seen you around Halas a little bit. How much have you been around? Are you doing your rehab there?
I mean, I've been at Halas Hall, and then I've been also in Houston working with some people out there. So I've been in and out, definitely coming back to stay around the guys and around the team. So, I've been back for a couple weeks in Chicago and, went to a couple games. So.
Now, I was thinking back to training camp and the preseason, and for the most part, because you're obviously running with the ones, you're working with Mike Lennon, not a whole lot with Mitch. How fun has it been able to watch Mitch, though, and just what have you thought about what he's done so far?
It's been fun to watch him, especially seeing where he first came from, kind of step on the field, how he called plays, and, it's just he's come a long way. So to see him step into that role, being a starting quarterback in the NFL is not easy, and he's been doing pretty well, so I give him credit for that.
It's Thanksgiving week. You're doing some cool things with Mercy Home. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, Mercy Home's a great kind of boys and girls club, and I partner with Drink Cray, a great company, water company. You can go to their website and kind of donate there to kind of give back to Mercy Home and what we're doing over there. So we got a good thing going. Giving back to the community. I'm giving some drinks out, some sports equipment, some food. So it's a bunch of stuff.
And it's for the kids, right?
Yeah, always for the kids in the community and, just giving back to Chicago in general.
And it's drinkcray.com. That's K-R-A, correct?
K-R-A. /Mercy Home.
/Mercy Home. All right, well, I'll make sure I get that right. So what is your mindset right now? It's kind of an interesting situation for you because technically your contract's up at the end of the year. Are you hoping to be back here with the Bears?
Yeah. Right now it's just, all about getting healthy and getting back on the field. But, I definitely want to be able to come back to Chicago and kind of finish not finish what I started, but kind of keep it going. So, you know, it's a little bit down the road, but for now, I'm just focused on getting better.
Is this your hometown team? You're from this area. I'm sure that still means something to you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it would definitely be great if I could, you know, spend a long time in Chicago and, you know, almost finish my career here. So, but, you know, you never know in this business, but at the same time right now, it's all up to me to just get better and, you know, we'll see what happens.
You and Kevin White both out this year. Have you guys been together at times, leaning on each other?
Yeah, I mean, we see each other every day almost, you know, but, you know, he's going through a little bit more than I am, having 3 years in a row of being injured and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of cool to be able to ask him about how he was feeling and, you know, his mental state. So we kind of go back and forth and bounce off each other. So that's been good, too.
Do you have a timetable? I mean, are you hoping you're back for OTAs? Is that too soon?
I don't necessarily have a timetable, but I definitely want to get back as soon as possible. And with this injury, I'm not sure exactly what that's entailing, but, you know, OTAs is around when I think I should be back, but you know, I'll definitely be ready for the season.
Well, it's good to see you out of that leg brace and walking around again. So
normal person.
That's good to see. So again, it's Drink Cray, KRA. Some great things with Mercy Home this week and the kids. Thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
All right, that's Cam Meredith. Good to hear from him. And said OTAs is kind of when he should be ready. That's mm-hmm. kind of how he put it. So that's good news. You think he's at least by training camp ready
to go. So what would
you
give him?
Go.
He's got to get a new contract, though.
He's got to get a new contract.
2 year deal?
I would be shocked if he's not with the Bears next year.
Absolutely.
Absolutely shocked. Yes. I think that now he was in line to perhaps have a huge season.
Yes.
And earn a lot of money. That's probably not happening now. But I think the Bears will reward him accordingly. I think Ryan Pace likes him a lot. Let's not forget that Ryan Pace brought him in here and kind of is the one that discovered him, diamond in the rough type guy,
yes,
at their
yes.
local pro day. Remember that whole story?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they also can't afford to let him go.
No.
I mean,
you need as many receivers as possible. Bring everybody back and then like five other guys.
Except Josh Bellamy. I'm just kidding.
What do you got against JB?
No, he's a good special teamer. It's just yes, not a wide receiver.
I know.
Can you like take him off the wide receiver depth chart? And just play him at wide receiver. I'm sorry, on special teams.
You could.
I'm just kidding.
You could. Is he under contract for next year? I don't think he is.
I don't know. I was just thinking about that yesterday. Like, I got to start transitioning to that part of the year.
I already have a chart of head coaching candidates.
Oh, my God. Well, we did write about that last week
yes,
in podcast
yes, we
in print.
6 weeks left in the season.
You can do it.
Make it through?
You can do it.
I will. I'm looking forward to Philly.
I'm not a Philly guy.
No?
There's really nothing about Philly that gets me going. I can't think of one thing.
The bell?
Never seen it.
We'll go see it.
It's a bell. So it's got a crack.
You hate America, apparently.
I hate Philly. I don't really have anything.
Well, Philly is the type of town where you're like, oh, this is nice. And then all of a sudden you go down the wrong block and you're like, whoa, where did I just transition to? It's like New Orleans. Like, oh, this is awesome. All of a sudden, whoa.
Yeah. New Orleans is kind of like that.
Yeah.
All right. We both in agreement Bears can't afford to let Cam Meredith go. I think some could have made that argument about Alshon Jeffrey.
Here's the thing about Jeffrey. He didn't want to be here.
Well, that's true. I don't know that he would ever resign here.
Yes. The Bears did negotiate with him 2 years in a row. Couldn't come to terms. He left the Bears for a one-year deal with the Eagles that is full of incentives. He never got the big money long-term deal that he wanted. Now, Bill Barnwell of ESPN said the Vikings kind of dangled that out there, but apparently it was not the money that he liked. So I think the Bears understood his market.
What about the franchise tag, though?
Do it again? A lot of money.
They could have. It would have been a lot of money. But I think at this point, you look at their cap space and their awful wide receiver situation, may have been worth doing.
Yeah. 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 But if you have a sense that the player already wants out and is looking elsewhere and is playing hardball with you over a market that's non-existent, I think you did the right thing. Sounds bad. Looks bad. But he did not want to be here.
Well, it's not an obvious, like, you're watching him on Sunday Night Football the other night going, oh, he should be on the Bears.
Yes.
Because you're absolutely right in that I don't know how good the fit was. Mm-hmm. He did get hurt all the time. As Dan Hampton would call him Half Sean and Zero Sean, or No Sean.
Yeah.
No
and Sean. Joe, what's your name for him?
Alsoft.
Alsoft. Yeah. So, and it is
a lot.
It is interesting.
His first name.
And
he got suspended too, right?
Yeah. Four-game suspension.
Four-game suspension. That matters. And, you know, it's interesting because I believe he's been on the injury report a few times this year.
He missed a lot of time preseason, I believe, for the Eagles.
Right, but I don't think he's missed a game in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had that nice run for the Bears last year, then he got suspended.
Yeah. Just saying.
He's been a difference maker for the Eagles, but I don't think the numbers are quite where he hoped or expected they would be. In order to get the payday that he wants.
But he is getting a lot of attention from defenses.
That's fine.
And it's helping their offense.
That's fine.
So it'll be interesting to see what the Eagles do with him. And whether or not his Super Bowl prediction comes true.
Well, yeah.
Or he said, I guarantee you we win the Super Bowl next year. That's what he said after the Vikings game.
Looking like quite the Kreskin right there.
Never said what team.
Yes. Yes, yes. So he's got a quarterback that is... quite exceptional, I would say.
Yeah.
Quite the MVP candidate. Here's Alshon Jeffrey's stats. Give me him. 10 games, 80 targets. 80 targets, only 38 receptions.
That can't be right.
Yeah, Pro Football Reference right here.
80 targets?
80 targets, only 38 receptions, 567 yards, 14.9 average, 6 touchdowns, long of 53. Catching percentage of 47.5. So, there you have it.
Wow, 80 targets. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, of course he would still look good in a Bears uniform. Kevin White at this point will look good in a Bears uniform. You just need pass catchers for your rookie quarterback. But
he's actually on a lower pace than he was last year, I believe.
Yes. So
because he only played in 12 games last year, put up 52 and 821. Now, he has gotten the end zone more this year, but it's not like he has taken his... Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not like his numbers have taken off this year.
I think people are... I don't want to say they're overrating the loss, but I think they're underrating how much he wanted to try something else.
Well, I wonder, you know, if Cam doesn't get hurt and Kevin White doesn't get hurt, and who knows what Kevin would have been. But if those guys had just stayed healthy, this wide receiver situation here in Chicago looks a lot different.
Yes, we're not having this.
How much are people really missing Alshon Jeffrey?
Yes, yes. That's a great point. Even like Marcus Wheaton, for as bad as he's been, the appendectomy, broken pinky, torn groin. He's clearly lacking confidence. There was a throw over the middle that Mitch Trubisky made to him in the two-minute drill, where I thought if he goes up, he could maybe get that, but he didn't even go up. So I wonder where his head is at right now.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance yet to look at the All-22 on that one, but that was one I had circled because I wanted to see his route.
Yeah,
it looked weird. It looked like a major overthrow by Trubisky when you just watched it live.
Yeah,
but something seemed off there.
Right. I almost feel like also that a Dontrell Inman is going up for that ball.
Yeah,
a Josh Bellamy is going up for that ball. The effort to not even go up for the ball. I don't know. Anyway, but yes, your first three receivers go down with injuries. We could be having a different conversation about Alshon Jeffrey this week.
Well, it is the Bears and the Eagles in Philadelphia. We will start to break that game down, but first...
What does the Fox say?
We have lulls. We have siestas.
What the Fox say?
That's John Fox Sunday after the game. Point I made in my column, I think the coaching takes siestas too during the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I felt as aggressive as Dell Loggins was as a play caller in that game. There were a few moments where the old run the ball, play it close, don't turn the ball over mentality still reared its
ugly
head.
Well, the only time I thought that was when they got backed up at their own end zone, when Tariq Cohen let the ball go, because people were pointing at the three and out at midfield.
In like the late second quarter?
Yeah,
I thought that.
Wasn't that the third?
There was a late second quarter, three and out after the Lions scored.
Yeah. But I'm thinking
it was a run
pass. About one of the women they were at the Okay, but I'm thinking about a different one then, because they were midfield, and Trubisky threw the ball twice and overthrew both of his receivers.
Yes, oh, that was in the third quarter, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what people are asking for, throw the ball. Dal called the throws. Yes. The quarterback has to make the throws.
Right.
So, I don't know. My biggest thing, we talked about this at length, I wrote about it, was just the personnel in the two-minute drill at the end.
Yeah.
You got to play your best players. I don't care if they're rookies. And if they don't know the two-minute package, that's on you. That's on you. Teach it to them. Teach it to them this week. Teach it to them.
Simplify it for them.
Get your best players on the field.
Still, like, their explanations for it are inexplicable. Like, I get that football can be a complex game, but let's not make it overly complex.
Yeah.
Give Tariq Cohen, who has proven to be quite a good route runner, a few routes to run out of the slot, opposite Kendall Wright in the other slot.
Josh Sitton said yesterday at Halas Hall that he's never seen a running back. He's never seen defenses roll their coverage to a running back the way they do to Tariq Cohen. So play him.
Yep.
Play him.
Yep.
I don't know how. They did. They did. My bold prediction last week was that he would get 32% of the snaps. He ended up getting 50.
Yep. I get that.
And it worked. They moved the ball.
But
then on the last possession of the game, the most crucial plays, he's not on the field.
Mr. Trubisky's been in these pressure pack situations, like in every single start he's had. He's coming along in them. Why aren't your talented rookies? Like, I get the Shaheen thing, right? He was number three in the depth chart for a long time. But Tariq Cohen's been part of your game plan. Maybe more games than, you know, in some games more than others. But he's been on the field for your offense since week one. Why does he not know a few calls as part of your two-minute package? There are timeouts you have at your disposal. There's going to be incompletions. Not every single play is going to be run fast to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts. All right, let's get to this game. All right, Bears go to Philadelphia noon Sunday on Fox. The Eagles are a 13.5-point favorite.
I feel like that's gone up, right?
It did. I think it started at 11, and then I saw it at 12 yesterday. Now it's at 13.5. I actually thought that 11 was kind of low when it first came out, so I'm not surprised that this has gone up. But here's the thing. The Bears have been playing everyone close this year.
Yep.
They've been playing good. They beat good teams. They beat the Panthers. They beat the Steelers. I don't think they go into Philadelphia and win.
No.
But the way they've played all season, I think they cover.
It's like the Saints.
I think they cover 13.5.
Yeah, I agree. It's like the Saints game all over again because you know Mitch Trubisky's going to have to throw to keep up. Now, I don't think they have the weaponry to keep up. Maybe they do for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I could see maybe like a 30-20 outcome, 27-17 like outcome. I don't think the turnovers are going to be there for the Bears defense. Maybe they get one, but it's still not enough to really flip this game on its head.
For my big question in this game, it's just the defense. Just in general, the defense, question mark. It's not that they're playing poorly. It's just we're starting to see some holes get poked. Part of it's injuries. Now you're not going to have Leonard Floyd. I don't know if you're going to have Danny Trevathan. But things have just started to break down a little bit. And I give them a lot of credit for bouncing back in the second half. They played well enough against a good Lions team, I thought. They're still not getting that stop, though, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they're not getting off on third downs when they need to.
And this is the Eagles, man. This is Carson Wentz. Yeah. It's going to be tough.
But we've talked about this. This could be the third year in a row where the defense starts to tail off in the second half of the season. Third year in a row.
Well, it's hard just as a unit to go 16 games
playing that outstanding when the other side's not holding up.
And amazingly, their defensive line has stayed healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, that defensive line has been a very good defensive line all season.
Yes.
People keep asking me about Jonathan Bullard and Roy Robertson Harris and why don't they play more? Well, they're backups because the guys in front of them are really, really good and they're not getting hurt. So they're on the field.
Yep.
I don't think that Jonathan Bullard's really done anything horrible.
And Roy Robertson Harris has been hurt.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Kind of.
He was finally active Sunday.
Tweaked his hamstring for a while. Yeah.
But Bullard's just a backup. And until guys go down in front of him, which you don't want to see, he's going to be a backup. So, but it's starting to just wear down a little. And
well, you're starting to see the cracks, especially in the secondary. the gaffes, the mistakes, the slip-ups, getting beat on double moves, Marcus Cooper, Kyle Fuller not making interceptions when he needs to.
Cooper, another one of those signings this offseason.
To me, my biggest question, I don't think we'll ever get an answer to it, except maybe in mid-January, if it comes to be. How much is Ryan Pace watching the Eagles' offense and taking note of play calls, the rhythm, the interactions between a certain offensive coordinator named Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, a certain quarterback's coach, John DeFilippo, did I say that right, and Carson Wentz? How people keep Jim Bob Cooter, whatever, I've heard mixed things about him. Good play caller. I don't know if he has it all ready to be a head coach. But you look at the combination of the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach that Carson Wentz has. Wouldn't that be a nice package? Have one as your head coach. One be your offensive coordinator for a guy like Mitch Trubisky. Just spitballing.
Possible. So I assume he's on that, that what'd you say you have?
The head coaching chart. Of them are. Like a combo deal. Yeah.
Wait, who else? Reich and who?
Greg, John DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach. For the
You're just going to leapfrog the offensive coordinator?
No, bring them both.
Oh, bring them both together.
Dual promotions.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You look at both Goff and Wentz. A lot of people are, like, panicking about Trubisky. That I don't know what they want from him. Like, he's not going to come. Peyton Manning would not have come out of Tennessee, been put in this offense with this offensive coordinator, this head coach, and these wide receivers, and look good.
No, see, I've always considered Peyton the transcendent one.
But he was bad his first year.
Forget that. Well, he threw a lot of receptions, but I feel like he's the one who transcends all that.
The point I'm making is, I think you should be encouraged by the small steps Trubisky's making every single week. And if you look at where Goff was at this point last year, people thought he was a bust. You look at Wentz. Wentz had a good start to last season. I remember Vic Fangio in week two already saying that he's going to be a good one. But late in the year, he tailed off. He started throwing interceptions.
Yep.
And people were worried about him this offseason. Well, you got the right coaches around him. He took off. So, just I guess the point I'm making is I actually think Trubisky's ahead of where Goff and Wentz were at this time last year.
Now, is that given some credit to Dal Loggins and David going there? Because going back to that quote postgame, I think John Fox has handcuffed them a bit. And I think it's impressive that Trubisky has shown signs of growth despite John Fox's play it safe approach. What do you think?
I agree. I actually think in some ways that has helped him, because I do think it is important to
have that mindset to not be
turning the ball over a lot. So I think that side of it has been helpful. You do need a running game, and that has helped. But it's too much. It's too much. You got to let him play, too. And it's a tough balance. I get it. But
well, I think that's one thing to be excited about over the next 6 weeks. I think John Fox is loosening the reins a bit. I think he knows he sort of has to give himself a second chance at keeping this job. I think Dal Loggins deserves. I think he owes it to Dal Loggins to let Dal Loggins coach up the quarterback the way he wants to play. Actually, you know, build game plans around the quarterback instead of this run first mentality. So it's one thing to be. I'm just looking forward to it over the next 6 weeks. If I needed to be optimistic in this case, that's it, is that Dal Loggins may have more freedom as a play caller.
All right, let's get to our bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
I predict that the Bears keep the Eagles under 27 points. And that might not seem that bold, except for the fact that that has only happened twice this year, when they lost to Kansas City in week two, and when they beat the Chargers 26-24 in week four. That was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So every week since week four, they have put up over 27 points, 51 against Denver, 34 against Washington, 33 against the 49ers. So I think it's bold. I think, and especially given what the Bears' defense is at this point, but I still think they find a way to keep them under 27.
Well, the Eagles' defense is playing quite well.
Yeah.
blend of different pass rushers. We got the old Chris Long, Kyle Long storyline to add to this one, too. Oh,
there's a good, lot of good storylines in this game.
Yes, 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 for a 3-7 team. My bold prediction. I don't know. I really don't know. I had a couple written down last night. And I didn't like them when I woke up this morning. It was about the defense. I just don't.
We both hit our bold predictions last week. Which maybe the first time in the history of this show.
I think I want to. You think it's bold in saying that Tariq Cohen again is going to be on? I'm gonna say he's on the field for over 50% of the snaps now. I think
it's bold because I don't trust him to do it 2 weeks in a row, even though it worked.
That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
They're gonna pick off Carson Wentz twice. They're gonna sack him four times with a 4-man rush because the 4-man rush is bad. Forget the defense. Tariq Cohen, I think, proved last week why he should be on the field more. Just again, the whole decoy aspect. I think he plays over 51% of the snaps. It's because maybe they're gonna be playing catch up a lot, but I think the Bears clearly understand now what he could do. So maybe I hope they understand what he can do.
Well,
so 51% of the snaps.
They should have understood
that,
it. They should have understood that a long time ago, but maybe they do now.
Predictions.
All right. Now, while I say that they keep him under 27, I'm literally going to pick 26 as the points that the Eagles score.
You have to.
In this game. And I'm going to say the Bears get 17. So the Eagles win by 9. Comfortable win, but under that 13.5 number. I think the Bears cover again. They're 6-2 against the spread. 6-2-1 now because they pushed against the spread the other day. 6-2-1 as underdogs this season.
I'm going to say 28-20. I think Trubisky, the growth is there. Danshall Immon is, he's become something more than I thought he would be. So I think the Bears move the ball. Tariq Cohen plays more. Jordan Howard is able to run a bit. Adam Shaheen continues on the same path. They still can't keep up with the Eagles. And I don't know, it could be a screwy score because of their kicker situation. Again, we're recording on Tuesday. We don't know what Jake Elliott's going to be doing. Or
maybe the Eagles will sign Connor Barth.
God, what a kicking, he's making 51-yarders for them or something.
That would be...
It'd be so Bears.
What if they sign him and then it comes down to an Eagles game-winning field goal that Barth hits?
Yeah. Right through the middle, perfect, right? Anyway, Eagles 28-20.
If he just aims to the left, then it would go down the middle.
We digress. 28-20, Eagles. There you have it.
Holy Moses.
All right. Some Thanksgiving games we need to get to. The best game, one of the best games of the whole entire weekend, will be at 11:30 Central Time Thursday on Fox. Vikings and Lions. This game matters a little bit more now that the Vikings managed to beat the Bears. But this is one that Detroit absolutely positively has to have. They're still two games behind Minnesota in the standings. Can't lose this one. They are 3-point underdogs at home, and the Vikings are rolling.
They were so impressive against the Rams. I saw the tweets early in that game. Look how good Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, and company look. Great opening drive. Yada, yada, yada. Their only score of the game.
Yeah. 24 unanswered points that the Vikings
Case
put up.
Case Keenum rolling. I think they continue to roll. I do. I know the Lions are getting points, 3 points, right? Doesn't matter. I could see the Vikings winning by a touchdown. The Lions were okay. The Bears only allowed 20 points to them. Matthew Stafford was great.
Yeah.
They can't run the ball. Give me the Vikings.
The interesting thing was when I went through and graded the film, I only came out with 3 negative grades for the Bears. They played pretty well overall. Yeah. And the Lions still found a way to win. So I was kind of impressed by that.
Well, that's usually a sign of a good team, right? Good teams find a way to win.
Right, right. So I guess what I'm saying is I think the Lions are, I don't think they're a great team, but I think they're good. I think they're good, but I think the Vikings might be great.
Well, defensively.
Don't you still feel like, when is this Case Keenum thing going to stop?
I don't think it is.
The magic has to end at some point, right?
No, even the Teddy Bridgewater thing is another formula for motivation. He's playing good.
How silly does it look? And we thought about it at that time on that Monday nighter. When Sam Bradford couldn't move, but how silly does that look now? Even more so that they even played Bradford.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, But in Case Keenum, the game completely changed.
Yeah.
The runs he had, the throws he made, completely different.
Yeah. By the way, we forgot to have Joe pick the Bears game. We're bad people.
Yeah, I'm not sure people want to hear it. I got the Eagles to cover 27-10.
Covering.
Yeah,
just
I got
a 17-point victory.
Yeah.
Just a 17-point victory.
I don't know. I mean, maybe coming off of Thanksgiving, they'll be a little sluggish. Both sides of the ball. I don't like the matchup with the Eagles, obviously. I mean, they're a really good team, and they had the foot-on-the-throat mentality against the Cowboys, and, you know, the Bears aren't the Cowboys and that they're not a divisional rival, but I still see this as another step in the direction towards being the number one team in the NFC and maybe even the NFL for the Eagles. So, yeah, it could get ugly in Philly.
All right. I'm going to take the Vikings against the Lions, too. I will agree with you, Johnsy. Joe, what do you have in this one?
I wish it was on Sunday. You know, it could be a lot better matchup. I will go with the Vikings.
Okay, so clean sweep there.
F***ing love media.
It's awesome. I love that clip.
That's Josh Sitton.
Loves us.
He's got two clips that he's given us this year, even though he doesn't talk a whole lot to the media. It's impressive. All right, second game on Thanksgiving Day. Chargers from Los Angeles now head to Dallas. This is even. The spread is even. 3:30 Thursday on CBS. The Cowboys are kind of a mess right now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have Zeke. Can't score. Dak Prescott's kind of looking like I
thought he would
this year. A little bit of a sophomore slump.
Don't forget their owners declared war on the commissioner.
But yeah, that's a little bit of a distraction.
Just a little bit.
I'm going to take the Chargers.
Me too.
In fact,
you better lock it up. Ooh. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
The Chargers aren't even that good. But yeah.
They just blew out the Bills. Not that the Bills are good.
Again, didn't you mention the guy who played a big role in that?
Nathan Peterman.
Yes, yes, yes. Was that the name of the guy in Seinfeld? It was Peterman. What was his first name?
Jay.
Jay Peterman.
Jay Peterman.
Ah, okay.
Knew Joe would have our Seinfeld.
For
sure. That's my favorite part of the voicemails open, by the way.
The George stanza?
The George voicemail line. Yeah.
Classic.
Well, I'm going Chargers too, Joe. What you got?
Yeah, it's hard not to pick the Chargers here. The Cowboys have had a lot of trouble with pass protection, and Chargers got some great pass rushers. This could not go well there in Dallas, and Jerry's going to have another thing to cry about on Thanksgiving.
This is Jay Cutler.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I wonder if Jay is regretting his decision.
He's concussed now, is he not?
He's got a concussion. It's been a bad year.
Do you remember all that talk about how can we let Adam Gase go? Fire John Fox, make Adam Gase head coach. I think Adam Gase is a very capable play caller. But I think he's got his hands quite full in a situation down there.
They seem to have enough playmakers. They traded Jay Ajayi. Yeah. It's been a weird year. They've now lost four games in a row. The playoffs seem like that's not happening. They're going on the road to New England here. Yikes. You thought the Bears spread was big. The Patriots are a 16.5-point favorite, which is enormous in the NFL.
I like the Pats.
You like the Pats?
Yes, they're rolling, man. I know they've traditionally had problems with Miami, have they not?
I don't know.
I feel like Tom Brady's had some stinkers. Maybe it's just down there in Miami itself, but
they're coming off a 25-point victory over the Raiders on the road. They played in Mexico.
Yes, 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 yes. Looks like the Raiders took a siesta, as John Fox would say.
Siesta.
So, give me the Pats are hot, man. Talk about like just underrated. You talk about the Dolphins' weapons. Forget them. I mean, the array of talent. Underrated talent that Tom Brady has around him. With the Rex Burkheads of the world making a difference. They're doing good things again in New England. Give me the Patriots big.
Well, the Jay seems to be going like every other game. So he played horrible this past week. So if he plays, I think he plays well. But we saw what happened last time Matt Moore had to play. And that was a disaster. Mm-hmm. They didn't score against the Ravens. So I'll take the Patriots too. Joe?
I'll take the Dolphins just to be contradictory.
Okay.
Hashtag analysis.
Hey, what we call Mitch? Pretty boy what?
Pretty boy.
Pretty boy assassin. That's his new nickname. That's what we call him, you know.
One of the best games of the weekend, 3:25 Sunday on CBS, the New Orleans Saints at the Los Angeles Rams. I'm surprised. The Rams are a 2.5-point favorite here coming off their loss to the Vikings, where maybe you thought, yeah, they're a little bit exposed.
Well, they're basically getting the home field bump, right?
Yeah.
I like the Saints.
I do, too. They're
running hot.
They just keep rolling.
Yeah, yeah. I like what they're doing with their backfield. Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, what a duo. Completely changed the complexion of that offense, that pass-heavy offense of Sean Payton and Drew Brees. I know a lot of those, they have a lot of receptions, but you know those are extended runs in many, many aspects. But give me the Saints, especially getting the points.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, they did struggle with Washington. Needed overtime, needed a crazy comeback at the end. But the thing is they got that comeback. So, you know, every once in a while you're going to have a lull, or as John Fox would say,
siesta.
And they woke up from their siesta, right? They woke up and they managed to get the win. So I think they go to Los Angeles and take care of business too.
New Orleans starting to get nicked up a little bit. Marshawn Lattimore couldn't finish the game. And I think they had somebody else go out with an ACL injury. That's been a pretty big part of their defense. I like this as a bounce-back game for Jared Goff, and they cover the spread at home.
Ooh, okay. Sounds good.
What was, you know, kind of unusual about Brian was he kind of played like a monster man in New Mexico.
The Packers are bigger underdogs than the Bears. That team that just beat the Bears last week at Soldier Field, who scored 0 points at Lambeau Field on Sunday against the Ravens, are now a 14-point favorite. Or I'm an underdog against the team the Bears beat.
What does that tell you about their defensive effort that game?
Right? So they scored 0 against the Ravens, who the Bears beat. And now they're a 14-point underdog.
At home.
Yeah. And now they're a 14-point underdog to the Steelers, who the Bears also beat. And yet they beat the Bears.
Brett Hundley looked like Brett Hundley should have looked. It makes the defensive effort, the coaching, all that much more worse of what happened a couple of weeks ago at Soldier Field. Just brutal.
I'm taking the Steelers.
Me too. Lock them up, too.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Steelers are a tough team to figure. You know, they had the game-winning field goal against the Colts as time expired. And then they go in and steamroll the Titans on Thursday Night Football. I'm not really sure if I can trust them with a 14-point spread. But Green Bay looks bad. I'll take the Steelers too.
Yeah, the thing about the Steelers is they've kind of struggled more on the road than at home, and the last two home games against the Bengals and the Titans, they won pretty comfortably. So I think given just the Packers' offensive problems that's going to continue this week. So clean sweep there with the Steelers. All right, we'll move to these college games relatively quickly. Some good ones on Saturday, though, and we start with the big one.
I want to hear Joe's analysis on this one.
The game. All right, Joe, it's number 9 Ohio State at number 24 Michigan. Your Wolverines are 11.5-point underdogs.
The game I look forward to more than anything the entire year. And I'm not really sure why, because they've lost 14 out of the last 16. But this, you know, it's frustrating with the way Michigan ended up last week. The quarterback is starting to finally get on a roll. The offense has some balance. And once O'Korn comes in, they are just dead stopped. And one big thing for Michigan this year has been the offensive line play. It's just it's been shoddy. And Ohio State can bring it on the defensive line with Bosa and I think his name is Jackson and Hubbard. They got some guys that can fly around the ball. And a lot like last year or last week when we made the picks, Ohio State kind of sees it in front of them. They have a shot at making the playoff, and Urban Meyer will not they talked about it on the broadcast. He does not like Michigan. He doesn't even like guys wearing blue in his office. This could get ugly in Ann Arbor. I mean, I'll watch it. I'll root for my boys, but 11.5 seems like it might be a bit low. I'll take the Buckeyes.
I like the Buckeyes, too. And I don't get, for a lot of the reasons Joe actually just laid out there, like the offensive line problems, the quarterback, O'Korn, Why is that not part of anybody's argument for Jim Harbaugh not to be the Bears coach?
I would say that it's
mediocre.
Recruiting's different.
But mediocre talent produces all the time at college. College is so gimmicky that you should be able to get. You ever see the passer ratings for these college quarterbacks? Doesn't matter who you are.
But you know what? I'll look at Wisconsin. Paul Chris is one of the best offensive coaches I've ever seen. He's a great quarterback coach. He was in the NFL as a quarterback coach. Wisconsin can't get a quarterback either. It's recruiting. It's there's a lot more that goes into it. Mm. I think Jim Harbaugh's NFL resume speaks for itself. It's hard for me to put too much stock in Michigan. What's going on there?
It has to be part of the evaluation. You're just going to ignore that he has not transformed Michigan into what?
Ask Joe. He did a hell of a lot better program than it was before him.
Joe?
Oh yeah, I mean the recruiting by itself is so much better. And you know, Brady Hoke brought in a lot of those guys that were drafted last year, but there's no way that they progressed the way they did until Jimmy got to town. I mean,
did you expect more of the quarterbacks?
I don't know enough about where they came from or
I wouldn't blame the quarterbacks as much as I would blame the offensive line. So I see what you're saying on that front, but this is his third full recruiting cycle here. The offensive line should be better than where it is. I wouldn't say that he's having trouble with quarterbacks. I think they've been fine. O'Korn wasn't a freshman that he recruited.
Yeah,
I'm just saying there's so many gimmicky things you could do in college. That's what offensive football is.
But they run a pro style. I mean,
I get it.
It's not
it.
They don't run full spread gimmicky stuff. Look here.
But he innovated for Colin Kaepernick, cut off half the field and used his legs.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to cut off the records here. I'm going to throw them out the window because it's a rivalry game.
He's getting me off Harbaugh.
And Michigan's at home.
Okay. What do you got?
Michigan does not win the game, but they cover. I think this is closer than people think. I think it's a game in the fourth quarter. I actually was more impressed than I thought I would be with them in Camp Randall last week. So I'm taking Michigan. How about that, Buckeye fans? Joe.
I knew I liked you. Such a good friend.
That's 11 a.m. Saturday on Fox. Then, I mean, you could just sit down on your couch Saturday and watch these three games in a row and be happy because at 2:30, number one, Alabama at number six, Auburn. Auburn only a 4.5-point underdog, which I think maybe people just look at this real quick, maybe they're surprised by that, but Auburn's playing great right now. And Alabama's had some issues. I told you a couple weeks ago to watch out against Mississippi State. They almost lost that game. This is on the road. Another, you know, this is the Iron Bowl. You throw out the records here, even though they're both good. Auburn might win this game.
Auburn had an impressive win over Georgia, did they not?
Yeah.
Dropped 40 points on them or something like that?
2 weeks ago.
God, I want to say it was, when did they have that amazing return, the upset Alabama, like 4 years ago?
Yeah, something like that, the kick six.
So we saw getting off a plane, God, in Pittsburgh or somewhere. I forget what part of the season that was.
I was in Minnesota, so we must have been in Minnesota.
Minnesota,
because
okay.
I remember watching that at my family's house.
Okay, so we got off the plane and we stopped at the bar off the plane. Don't read into it, people. We were just watching the game.
That's your normal routine.
Yes, you know, off the plane. Beer in a shot. And that's what we saw. So I think you're going to see some amazing just my vibe for this game. I think Alabama's been impressive. I don't care what they did last week. You know, that game does not count. Mercer.
Well, Auburn did the same thing against Louisiana Monroe, which
right.
I told you about, sandwich game.
Yeah.
They won, but not impressively.
So I like Auburn in this one. To win.
To win?
To win. To win.
It's a little too early in the week for me to pull out the Auburn's winning. I think they have a good chance, though. I also think Alabama's type of game.
You doing another podcast this week to
maybe,
pull out the
maybe we can
Auburn
just do
winning?
A college one. But I do think they cover 4.5. I think it's a really, really close game.
Yep.
Yeah, the home dog is barking here. Jared Sittum's really throwing the ball well for Auburn. Offense is clicking, and Alabama's defense, they've got some injuries in the linebacking core, and Micah Fitzpatrick sat out last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. I think Auburn definitely gives them a run for their money, if not wins outright, so you can lock that baby up.
Ooh.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
All right, and then the nightcap.
Josh, who's the best meat smoker of your offensive line?
What do you mean by meat smoker?
Notre Dame on the road at number 22 Stanford, Irish number 8 now. Stanford, only a 2-point underdog. I've watched Stanford way too much this year. I don't know why. Like, they're always on
it's the West Coast late game.
They're always on at weird times, like on a Friday where I'm randomly, like, just trying to see what's on. 7 p.m. Saturday on ABC, but they're not good. Stanford's not good. They don't have good quarterback play. They've had some
and
awful.
Notre Dame does?
No, Winbush has been tough, but I don't know. I think Notre Dame wins this game by at least two.
It's
a weird spread to me.
The Irish are tough to figure out. I haven't watched as enough Cardinal football as you have, but
Fear the tree,
yeah,
which is apparently something they say.
Take that a lot of ways, I guess. But give me the Irish. I'm not going to offer much analysis here. They weren't overly impressive against Navy. I just think they have more talent on the field, and maybe they'll be able to establish that run game that has kind of disappeared for them.
Joe?
No championship game for Notre Dame. No conference title game, I mean. So this is a bit of a chance for them to make a statement, and their last ploy at being in the Final Four. I think they win by at least two, but they don't push themselves into the playoffs by doing it. I think they cover the spread, but not a crazy good game.
Yeah, I think the playoffs are just not going to happen for them at this point. But this they should get into a New Year's Six bowl game by winning this game. So
okay,
they'll win.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Anything else?
No. Did the Eagles blow them out?
I don't. I would think it would take Mitch Trubisky turning the ball over a lot for that to happen.
But even then,
he's not shown that.
The attrition on defense.
Maybe. I think the Bears cover 13.5. The way the Bears have played against those with those kind of tight, and they haven't had one that high, I think they'll be fine. In that regard, I don't think they win.
Right. No. 3-8.
Yeah, we're at the point where that's not acceptable. That was not the expectations.
No.
Especially coming out of the bye.
No.
All right, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Joe Romano's at Joey Joe Rowe. WGNradio.com/Bears. My 10 Bears things will be up on Wednesday. ChicagoSuntimes.com, where you can read Johnsy and our podcast in print this week. It'll also be in Wednesday's Sun-Times. Hope you enjoyed the holiday. Spend some time with your families. Watch football. Don't stress out about the Bears too much. Just take it easy. I love Thanksgiving.
It's my favorite holiday.
Yeah, it's up there. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll talk to you after the Bears game from Philly.
Happy Thanksgiving.
How big is the round?
I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick. Yeah.
Holy